Welcome to today's episode of the Normalize Surrogacy podcast by Surrogacy Mentor. I'm your host, Carrie Flamer Powell, experienced gestational surrogate, surrogacy agency founder, and owner of Surrogacy Mentor and Modern Parent Mentor, where our aim is a safe, ethical, and enjoyable surrogacy for all. Today, I'm excited to have our special guest, Abby Helmuth of Seed Trust Escrow. Welcome, Abby.
Thanks for having me, Carrie. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate you chatting with us. I've been wanting to have an in-depth discussion about escrow and what it is and why it's important in surrogacy. So this is a great opportunity to dive into this topic with someone who knows what they're talking about. So awesome. So why don't we just start with, tell us a little bit about you, Seed Trust, the company you work for, and let's just discuss what is escrow on just a basic level.
Well, thank you, Carrie. And we're really excited to talk about escrow. It's definitely a common situation right now. And I think for intended parents and surrogates, it's not realizing what questions to ask when it comes to escrow. And so I'm more than happy to talk about that and the security behind it. But as Carrie mentioned, my name is Abby Helmuth. I am the escrow consultant at Seed Trust, where I discuss best practices for our clients when it comes to their surrogacy and egg donation journey for all things escrow related. Formerly, I was a paralegal with Seed Trust, so I was managing our surrogacy and egg donation cases, and that was from everything start to finish. It was managing the contracts that both parties come into when they start their journey, and ensuring that the surrogates are paid on time, and also that all parties have an understanding of what's being processed at each stage. But how I got into this field was I also was working at a reproductive law firm, and I was a paralegal over there. So I have experience on the parental establishment side. So what that is when the obtaining the judgments for the intended parents to have their parental rights. I was doing that side of surrogacy. So just having a full understanding of each process really makes it an easier position here at Seed Trust to understand everything from start to finish.
Absolutely. Okay. So when we're talking about escrow, I know a lot of people have probably heard that term in relation to real estate, right? You open escrow or you close escrow on a house. So let's talk about what is escrow and then how is it relating to the surrogacy journey?
Yeah, so escrow isn't, you know, something that most people think about when they're starting their surrogacy journey, but it is one of the most critical decisions that both the intended parents and surrogates need to make. And so an escrow company, when it comes to your surrogacy and egg donation journey, is a third-party entity that securely holds funds and manages those expenses for the parties that are contractually involved. Mm-hmm. So in this situation, surrogates and intended parents, they will go into a contract together. And from there, the escrow company is going to review every payment according to that specific contract.
Right. So just in really super basic terms, it's basically someone who is completely separate legally, emotionally, financially from the surrogate and the intended parents. Yes. And the agency, which is important, completely independent, who is holding the money involved in this entire surrogacy journey and being a completely unbiased and separate entity that's helping everyone make sure the money is managed fairly and accurately. Is that right?
That's correct. So completely third party, no relation to either intended parents, surrogates, or agency. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is really it makes the entire process a lot more seamless. It's going to protect all parties. And so for Seed Trust specifically, we are that independent escrow fund manager. So you might hear that a lot. And in simple terms, that just means the escrow company is managing all of those expenses against the contract and taking on that financial liability. So they're making sure surrogates and IPs have a full understanding of what's going on, and also the surrogates getting paid on time.
Okay. So you said something that I'd like to talk more about. You said managing it against the contract. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about what does that mean and why is that so important?
Yeah. So the contract that both the surrogate and intended parents will go into is also the gestational surrogacy agreement. And so within that contract, the drafting and reviewing attorneys are going to discuss with both clients the terms of the agreement, what's to be reimbursed, when those items are going to be reimbursed, and also the surrogate's pregnancy payments. Mm-hmm. So what the escrow provider, when they step in, they're going to get a copy of that contract. Mm-hmm. And they're going to review each and every provision in that agreement to ensure that certain milestones are being met, that the surrogate's getting paid in accordance with the schedule that's outlined, and that also all parties have a expectation and they have an understanding of those transactions. Mm-hmm. So having an open line of communication as an escrow provider is really important, mm-hmm. because in your journey, you probably will have questions on certain payments. And so having somebody that you can reference back to is really important.
Definitely. And so when I owned my agency, I used to tell surrogates and parents, like, what you and the other party agree to in your surrogacy contract becomes like the rule book,
yeah,
for how everything's going to go from here on out, not the least of which is all the financial stuff. And that is what is given to you after it's signed by everyone, the surrogacy contract signed by everyone, approved by the lawyers, approved by the parents, approved by the surrogate, and they've agreed to all the things. Exactly. That's given to you, the escrow manager, mm-hmm. and then you plug that into your systems,
yep. and
you know exactly who is to be paid at what interval, in what amount, what triggers a payment to happen or not happen. And so you make sure all the things are happening according to what everyone has already previously agreed on, right?
Exactly. And then both parties can really focus on what matters. And that's that journey and having that relationship together for the intended parents and surrogates. So we handle all of those financial conversations and items in the contract. That's correct.
Okay. So at what point, what does it mean to open escrow in a surrogacy contract? And at what point does that happen? And when it happens, what is happening? Like if I'm a surrogate and I've never done this before, yeah. and someone says, okay, it's now time for your intended parents to open the escrow account and fund it, what does that mean?
Yeah. So my recommendation as an escrow consultant and here at C-Trust, we always recommend opening escrow at match. So that is when the surrogates and intended parents come into a match agreement, and that's going to be before legal contracts. Mm-hmm. The reason we recommend opening escrow at match is because you're going to have a centralized location for where the expenses are going to be held, where receipts are going to be documented, invoices, and also becoming familiar with an online dashboard, which kind of gets into my next point is here at C-Trust, we have a online dashboard that both parties can review those payments. Mm-hmm. So when the agency will send us a match sheet, the escrow account is set up the same day. It's a very quick turnaround. Mm-hmm. From there will be some funding requirements for the intended parents. Mm-hmm. Both the surrogate and the intended parents will have their own login and access to that dashboard.
Okay.
And that's where the surrogate will update her direct deposit form to receive reimbursements and payments. Mm-hmm. And that's also where both parties can review all of those pre-contract expenses as well as contract expenses.
Got it. Okay. So I want to talk about two things.
Yeah.
One is, can you give us some examples of expenses that would be incurred before a surrogacy contract is signed?
Yeah, some of those expenses, which would be outlined in the agency's benefit package, mm-hmm. those will include travel expenses. Maybe it could be mileage, per diem, which is a meal allowance, lost wages. Those are for traveling to certain clinic appointments. Mm-hmm. And then other transactions that you might see could be maybe legal invoices once you get into contracts. Mm-hmm. It could be certain medications, certain psych evaluation invoices. So you'll see all certain payments pre-contract and then leading up to the contract.
Got it. Okay. That makes sense. And so let's talk about the online dashboard. So this isn't a situation where you're mailing out snail mail paper checks, right?
No.
Like
no.
Tell us about the online dashboard and how are payments actually made and received?
Yeah. So our online dashboard, it can be viewed through your tablet, desktop, and phone. So it's very user-friendly for all parties. Mm-hmm. And we process payments to surrogates via direct deposit. And that's about a 1 to 3 business day turnaround. And it's electronically right to their bank account. So we try to steer away from paper checks just because we've noticed a huge delay, lost in checks, And then you're not getting paid on time for any of your reimbursements. So we do everything electronic. Mm-hmm. And then any other third-party providers can also be paid electronic.
Got it. Okay. So just to back up a little bit. So when the intended parents open or fund the escrow account, there's a certain amount of money they have to put in pre-contract, mm-hmm. and then a certain amount of money that's been agreed that they have to put in after the contract is signed. And that's typically the biggest lump sum of money, right? That sort of sets up the cushion for the anticipated expenses. And so that's going to be agreed upon in the contract, right?
Exactly. So once they get to the contract phase, they mean the surrogate and the intended parents, they will review those terms with their attorney. Mm-hmm. And in that contract, there shall be a provision that stipulates when the first deposit is due from the intended parents. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes there's a second or even a third milestone of a deposit. Mm-hmm. And then a minimum balance requirement that must be maintained throughout the journey. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is just to ensure that there's funds in the account to process expenses that do come up aside from the surrogate's compensation.
Got it. Okay. And then are things like medical bills paid through the escrow account?
Yep. So medical bills can be paid through escrow. Typically, we prefer paying the providers directly. Mm-hmm. That way we can trace payments internally. We've got a robust accounting team, very helpful in regards to tracking payments and providing receipts. And then also you'll see insurance premiums. Mm-hmm. Those can be paid directly to the provider or to the surrogate. Mm-hmm. There's also going to be reimbursement items, as mentioned before, such as variable expenses of lost wages, per diem. And then there also will be the pregnancy compensations and allowances that are outlined in the contract.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Awesome. And so if there is an agency involved, typically they are also working with you, right, to make sure that bills are getting sent to you or that you're being notified of certain milestones that are taking place. If there's not an agency involved, I'm guessing that the intended parents or the surrogate are keeping you informed of different milestones and saying, hey, you know, this, I got a positive pregnancy test today or whatever it was that triggers a new payment. Is that how that communication happens?
That's correct. So speaking on the agency managed side of things, the agency will work with us closely as well as both the intended parents and surrogates. They will update us on various milestones such as embryo transfer, confirmation of heartbeat, and delivery. Mm-hmm. And with that, that triggers our team to schedule such items, release certain payments. Mm-hmm. Agencies have the option to submit the reimbursements on behalf of the surrogates, but we also give the option to have surrogates submit their own expenses in real time.
Got it. Okay.
An independent journey, then yes, that's correct. The updates are coming directly from the intended parents and the surrogate.
Got it. Okay.
Yep.
So is there any situation where an intended parent or a surrogate could just like clean out the account and take all the money out of it?
No. So all of the funds that we hold here at C-Trust are held in a secure account. We have a bond of $40 million here at C-Trust. So what that means is that all of the clients' funds that we hold and manage are securely held and secured throughout the entire journey. So intended parents will not be able to just take all their money out during mid-pregnancy. Those funds are in there to protect both the parties, ensuring that we can process those payments directly to the surrogate. And also surrogates aren't able to just request items that aren't in the contract. So we do verify each and every disbursement to ensure that there's documentation, receipts, and it abides by those terms that were agreed on by both parties.
Got it.
Yep.
So let's say there is a legitimate expense that comes up that wasn't in the contract. How is something like that handled?
Yeah. So, and that can happen. And it's sometimes just because of confusion of certain provisions in the agreement. If that happens, because our team's reviewing the items and we see something that is not in the contract, let's just say a parking receipt was not provided in the contract. We do not process that request. And that will go back to the surrogate, explain why the item is not to be reimbursed. Mm-hmm. And typically it's just a misunderstanding of expenses. Mm-hmm. If there's any push to that, then usually that's when the attorneys can get involved for amending of a contract, but usually it's just a misunderstanding of the provisions.
And so is it a situation where the intended parents could just send you an email saying, hey, this is legitimate. You can pay this. We approve it. And then it can just be handled that way. Or does it require like a whole changing of the contract?
It doesn't require a whole changing of the contract. If intended parents approve of an item outside of the contract, we can definitely process it. But just to keep in mind that that contract that's made between the surrogates and intended parents is something that was agreed upon at that time. So typically, I would say when we're reviewing those items, what's being requested is what's going to be processed. And anything outside of that, unless we have all parties agreement, isn't going to be processed.
Sure. No, that makes sense. And that's how you work to protect people, right?
Exactly.
So, what additional protections should people be looking for when they're talking to escrow companies? You mentioned that you're bonded. What other protections does C-Trust have, or what should people be looking for when they're looking for a reputable escrow manager?
That's a great question. So having no conflict of interest is what we mentioned before. Also having verify each milestone of the contract, ensuring that the escrow provider is going to manage those expenses and not just process as what's being submitted. Mm-hmm. Also legal protection. So those terms and conditions are clearly defined in the contract, which makes it legal binding as well. Mm-hmm. And then also having an escrow provider is just really going to give that peace of mind throughout your pregnancy, because you're going to have full transparency throughout the journey. So it's really important to make sure that those individuals are specifically specialized in assisted reproductive technology, so a surrogacy and egg donation journeys, mm-hmm. and also have financial and legal experts.
Gotcha. Okay. And you mentioned managing the expenses, not just paying them out blindly. So like if there's a provision in a contract that says a surrogate can be reimbursed for such and such up to a maximum of $3,000 over the course of the entire pregnancy. Mm-hmm. Are you guys tracking how much she's been given of that $3,000 and how much is left?
That's a really good question. So within our dashboard, we provide a ledger, which is a complete history of all transactions. Mm-hmm. And that's how those types of caps are being monitored. Mm-hmm. So if there is a provision capping it at $3,000, what we do is in our system, when we're reviewing those items, we're going to look back to that ledger history, see how much was paid. And then we'll explain all of that as well to both parties if there's ever any questions on why certain items are being reimbursed, and we can show proof of those items with a ledger statement.
Got it. Okay. And so should people be worried, intended parents or surrogates, should they be worried about the funds just not being there one day or something happening to their money? How are those protections built in on your side?
Yeah. So on our side, we do have 6 insurance policies that stack up to our $40 million bond. And so what that means is if those situations were to happen, if an owner of an escrow company were to take off and those funds weren't there, as long as you have a bond that's going to cover those expenses, you will be protected and have that security in place. So that's another really important aspect to consider when you're looking for their escrow providers is, are they bonded and are they insured?
Right. Yeah, it's important because there are some agencies that hold escrow. There's some attorneys that hold escrow, and there are different limits, right, to the Bar Association, what they will cover for attorneys. And I don't think there's any entity that will cover agencies that are holding escrow. So it's good to know that there's protections and bonds and insurances and all these things that are out there. Make sure that the provider you're working with has all of those in place, right?
Exactly. And having, you know, if they do have an online dashboard, making sure it's HIPAA compliant to protect all of your personal information. Mm-hmm. But that's such a great point. That bond is really important. I would say it should be one of the number one questions you ask if you're looking for a provider is, what is your bond?
Right. So what did we miss? What are any other important points about escrow or things people should be thinking of when thinking about escrow?
Yeah. So I just wanted to kind of touch base on any individuals that are in the beginning stages of going through a surrogacy journey. Maybe they're not matched yet. Maybe they're in the process of being matched. I think it's very important for surrogates to advocate for themselves and the protection for their journey. So ask questions, ask what kind of escrow provider the intended parents are looking at. Use your voice to protect your compensation, your reimbursements, and also ask these questions that we discussed today, because, you know, it's in the intended parents decision as much as the surrogate. So you just want to make sure that you're going to be protected. There's no conflict of interest and you're having each of those milestones verified. So for any of the people that are beginning these, you know, very front part of the journey, making sure to just check on those boxes and having that provider set.
Definitely. Because I think what maybe a lot of people think is, you know, I have a great relationship with my IPs, or I feel a great connection with this surrogate. I think we can do this on our own. I think, you know, we can handle the financial stuff. We have great communication and I trust them and it's all good. So I think we can do this on our own. And that might be true in the beginning, but things can change very quickly, right? During a surrogacy journey, feelings can change, emotions, health can change. Yeah. The health of the pregnancy, if there is one, can change. Life circumstances, divorce, death, job loss. Lots of things can change in this year and a half or so that it takes to get through a complete journey. Yeah. And that might change things drastically in terms of communication and financials and availability of funds, right?
Exactly. If you're embarking on the journey and you're looking to not use an escrow provider, some of the factors you want to consider is not having, you know, those financial conversations with your surrogate, or vice versa, having a third party to ask those questions in regards to the contract. Also, if you're not using an escrow provider, how are you going to check receipts and invoices documenting each of those certain payments and ensuring that the surrogate's compensation is going to be paid on the date that's outlined in the contract? So there's all of those factors to really consider. And it's just a critical decision on both parties to make. And I really would highly encourage having an escrow provider to manage that journey from start to finish, as it's just going to alleviate a lot of unnecessary stress that you don't need to add.
100%. And I think I've mentioned this before in other podcast episodes, but I'm very open about the fact that I did an independent journey as a surrogate 10 years ago, and I did not use an escrow, and we got really lucky. I mean, 10 years ago, escrow companies weren't as prevalent as they are. It wasn't a discussion that was had very often.
Sure.
And I just thought, hey, I'm type A, I can handle this. And I was kind of like the money manager of the whole journey. And I look back now and I just cringe, you know, thinking what could have gone wrong. I feel like the success of my journey without an escrow account was 100% luck.
Yeah.
And I just got super lucky, and that other people should never assume they're going to be lucky.
Never assume you're going to be lucky. That's for sure. And also, contracts change every year and daily and monthly. And there's just all certain different provisions and protections in place from, I think, 10 years ago to now. So I've spoken with individuals that have maybe used like Venmo or PayPal in the past. And I just like, how do you track everything as an escrow provider? That makes me cringe myself. So really just having that protection security in place is going to pay off in the end.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. As someone who has done it the wrong way and then did it the right way as a surrogacy agency owner, I've seen both sides, and 100% for the cost of the minimal cost of an escrow fund manager, it is worth it 100 times over for the protection and the peace of mind, and just to not have those conversations about money with your intended parents and your surrogate. It's worth it, just the peace of mind alone. So
exactly.
I agree. Well, I just so appreciate you taking the time to help us understand a little bit more about escrow and why it's so critical for a successful and safe journey. And just appreciate you being here. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity, and it was a pleasure to be here today.
Definitely. Well, you can find information about Seed Trust on the link to this podcast. And of course, information will be on our podcast link as well. I just want to say thanks again, that this brings us to the end of this episode of the Normalized Surrogacy Podcast by Surrogacy Mentor. Again, I'm your host, Carrie Flamer Powell. Thanks again to Abby of Seed Trust Escrow for joining us for this chat today. Be sure to check us out online at surrogacymentor.com if you are interested in knowing whether surrogacy is right for you. Take our easy 2-minute quiz on our website. Also, check us out online at modernparentmentor.com if you're considering an independent surrogacy journey. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast to learn more about gestational surrogacy and how to have a safe, ethical, and enjoyable surrogacy journey. Talk to you next time.